It's a new one for me. Thank you. So I need to put a plug in. We are in need of more ushers to receive the offering. I always thought that was such an easy job. Even a teenager could do it. And they can do it better than I can. So I goofed up. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll look at verses 10 through 22 today. We're going to talk today about the fact that He owns it all. We've sung a little bit about that today, about how He is Lord and He is ruler and it all belongs to Him. So we're going to talk about that and see what God's Word has to say about that for us. As we're in this series on dollars and cents and trying to see what the Bible teaches us about our stewardship of all that He's entrusted to us, this is kind of a foundational point for us to get into our hearts and our minds today. The fact that the things that we have are not ours. We might consider them our possessions, but really they don't belong to us. We're stewards of them. The Bible makes it really clear that God owns everything. And I just want to share a few verses that teach us some of that. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains." That pretty much sums it all up, right? Anything that we could imagine there, it belongs to God. But Scripture even reveals specific items that God owns. Leviticus 25 identifies Him as the owner of all the land. He says, "The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine." Haggai 2:8 reveals that the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. In Psalm 50, verse 10, the Lord tells us, "Every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills." Hey, we should sing a song about that. The Lord is the creator of all things and He has never transferred the ownership of His creation to people. He has given us stewardship of His creation, but He is the owner of it. Colossians 1:17 also tells us that in Him all things hold together. All things hold together. So not only does He own all things, but He holds it all together. At this very moment, He's holding things together by His power. So Howard Dayton, in his book, Your Money Counts, says, "Recognizing God's ownership is critical to allowing Jesus Christ to become the Lord of our money and our possessions." Recognizing God's ownership is critical to allowing Jesus Christ to become the Lord of our money and our possessions. Now, how many of you have been working really hard this week on 1 Chronicles 29, 11, and 12? If you weren't here in the last couple weeks, you might not realize we have memory verses for this series that we're going to try to say together. And usually I start doing okay by Thursday or Friday, and then I have it really good on Saturday. And then Sunday morning I stand in front of you and have a real hard time. So we're going to try it together. I'm going to cover up that. Okay. So if you've been working on this, let's try to say this together. And if you haven't, if you want to correct me from the Bible, you can. Okay. So this is the ESV of 1 Chronicles 29, 11, and 12. "Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom." And I'm sorry. It's one of those mornings. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to grant strength to all." 1 Chronicles 29, 11, and 12. All right, good job, class. So keep working on that one. Maybe we'll have a review session in a couple of weeks. We also did Luke 16, 11, which I'm forgetting at the moment, even though I've reviewed it all week. So, but keep working on those. Having those verses in our hearts and in our minds will be very beneficial for us as we go through this series and as we go through life. Well, as we look at 1 Chronicles 29 today, I think there are three main things that come out of this particular text that we want to examine. And number one is another very basic point: all belongs to the Lord. all belongs to the Lord. Verse 10 through 13. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." Well, what is happening here in this passage in 1 Chronicles 29 is that David is both praising the Lord for what has been accomplished, and also we'll see he's going to be praying about what is going to be accomplished in the near future. David was desirous of building a great house for God, but God told him, "You're not going to be the one to build the temple. Your son will be the one to complete it." But David was the one who donated much of his own resources and then also received from all the people much resources for the sake of building this magnificent house of worship and house of prayer for all nations known as the temple. And so what's happening here is this is a response of all the things that were received in this great offering for the temple. So David now in this passage is praising God and rejoicing for all that's been brought in and acknowledging that it all is God's anyway. And then he's praying about how Solomon will complete the task. So that's what's happening here in 1 Chronicles 29. But as you see here, it relates to a lot of the Psalms that David writes. He's just a phenomenal, obviously a hymn writer, a psalm writer, and God used him in powerful ways. So we see in this passage many of the things that we see throughout the Psalms as he worships God. So this great prayer begins with the praise and the adoration of the Lord. Because God had blessed David so much, David was blessing God much and praising God with much thankfulness. Warren Wiersbe says that his words are a short course in theology. He blesses the God of Israel and acknowledges his greatness, his power, his glory, his victory, his majesty. So in other words, God owns everything. God is sovereign over all, and his name is great and glorious. And so this is a beautiful reminder for us of who God is and what that means for us as his followers. Verse 11 and 12 was the key passage that we memorized. And in this passage, we see some important things. First of all, God has retained the ultimate control of every event that occurs upon the earth. It describes in this passage the fact that he owns everything and that he's in charge of everything. Think about several of the names of God in Scripture. He's referred to as Master, Almighty, Creator, Shepherd, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. It's obvious in the Bible who's in charge. Psalm 15:6 says, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth." Interestingly enough, also in Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar came to a point where he says, "I praised the Most High. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" The Lord is in control even of difficult circumstances. In Isaiah 45, he says, "I am the Lord and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these." So it's important for the child of God to understand, for us to realize that our Heavenly Father orchestrates even seemingly devastating circumstances for the ultimate good in the lives of the godly. As it says in Romans 8:28, right? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Why do I mention that? Because it's important for us as we think about all the things that we think we have, that all those things belong to God. But not only that, all the things that happen to us, He is ultimately sovereign over. And it's important for us as His followers to submit to that and understand that. We are not the master of our fate, though our world tries to tell us that. The Lord allows good things to happen in our lives, and He also allows difficult things to enter into our lives. Howard Dayton, again, to quote from him, he says that the Lord has at least three reasons for allowing difficult things in our lives. And the first one is to develop our character. Secondly, to accomplish His intentions or His purposes. And third, to lovingly discipline us as needed. So I'll read those again if you're taking notes so you can pass the test at the end. Number three reasons why God allows difficult things: develop our character, accomplish His purposes, and lovingly discipline us when needed. All things come from His hand. Paul says it perfectly in Romans 11:36. He says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." That pretty much encapsulates everything, doesn't it? From Him and to Him and through Him are all things. Larry Burkett, the late Larry Burkett, observed, "When we acknowledge God's ownership and that He's in charge of everything, every spending decision becomes a spiritual decision," he says. "No longer do we ask the question, 'Lord, what do you want me to do with my money?' The question is restated, 'Lord, what do you want me to do with your money? What do you want me to do with your money? What do you want us to do with your money?'" In the book, Your Money Counts, there's a humorous anecdote about a man named Jim who went through this exercise that we're actually going to do at the end of the message today of transferring ownership of everything he possessed to God. And shortly after he did that, he transferred the ownership of everything in his heart and his mind to God. And then he bought a new car. And it was just 2 days old when a young person drove into the side of his car. And Jim's first reaction was, "Well, God, I don't know why you want a dent in the side of your new car, but you certainly have a big one." That was good. Then when John Wesley learned that his home had been destroyed by a fire, he exclaimed, "The Lord's house is burned. One less responsibility for me." What a great perspective. So all belongs to the Lord. That's number one. Number two, all comes from the Lord. And those two things obviously are very related, very similar statements. All comes from the Lord. But look at what David says starting in verse 14. "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your hand have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision." All comes from the Lord. David is asking the question, who am I and who are these people that we would be able to do this? Why would you give us such a great privilege? Because we are unworthy of the great privilege of giving so lavishly and so generously to the Lord. And then he acknowledges, it's all from your hand. It all belongs to you. Everything comes from you. Warren Wiersbe says, "When we give, we only return to the Lord that which He has graciously already given to us." When we give to the Lord, we only return to the Lord that which he has graciously already given to us. Notice what else David says in verse 15. He says, we are strangers before you and sojourners. That's an important perspective to have when it comes to thinking about our money and our possessions. We're just aliens and strangers. We're just passing through here. This earth, this world is not our permanent home. And so it's very easy when it comes to thinking about what we consider to be our possessions, to have that earthly mindset. Like, I want to accumulate all of these things, or I want to take care of my stuff. But when we have the perspective, we're just passing through. We recognize that all these things are just temporary. They're not that important. In Psalm 102:11, David also said, my days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. In other words, we're just passing through here. We're just strangers. Our life is just here today and gone tomorrow. And you all recognize just how quickly our time flies by and how fleeting life can be. One writer referring to this verse says, at the height of his power and at the peak of national security, David makes the astonishing confession that he remains a stranger and an alien in the land, and that his days on this earth are fleeting. In this way, David joins himself to the patriarchs of old, especially Abraham, who was looking forward to the city and that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God, according to Hebrews 11. We often think that God's people in the Old Testament focused only on earthly and temporal blessings. Yet these earthly blessings always pointed beyond themselves to the promised eternal blessings of the coming kingdom of God. Abraham and David and ultimately Jesus lived as aliens and strangers on the earth. They were confident of a better kingdom coming in the future. And so we are joined in this temporary procession of life, and we're waiting for the coming kingdom and the satisfaction of all things. In contrast to the eternal God, David declares that he, even though he was the king, he is like any other human, just an alien and a stranger on the earth. God is eternal, but human life is brief. Nobody can prevent the inevitable hour of death. David sounds a lot like Moses in Psalm 90 here in this statement that he makes. Since all things come from God and life is brief, the wisest thing that we can do is give back to God what he gives to us. Give back to God what he gives to us and make an investment in the eternal. That's the best thing that we can do in response to the fact that we are just passing through. Jesus said to not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right? Moths or roths or rust can't destroy the treasures that you lay up in heaven. Thieves can't do anything about the treasures that you lay up in heaven. And so that's where we should be focused on investment. In verse 17, notice what he says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and you have pleasure in uprightness, in the uprightness of my heart. I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. David here is assuring the Lord that the offerings came from his heart and from the hearts of his people. And they gave joyfully and with sincerity. You know, the New Testament tells us God loves a cheerful giver. And David is here praying that his people might always have these kind of hearts that are committed to the Lord. Hearts that are dedicated to the Lord and hearts that are willing to give generously and cheerfully. In other words, he's praying that they would worship God alone and not make wealth their God. And then I think it's also interesting in verse 19, he says, grant to Solomon, my son, a heart that he may keep your commandments. Like any godly father, David closed his prayer here by interceding for his son and asking that he would always be obedient to what was written in God's word. Unfortunately, we know that Solomon was not obedient to all that is written in God's word. And so David would experience, you know, the same pain as many parents do of having a son that has fallen away from the Lord. But David's heart here was to pray that his son not only would complete the task of building the temple, but would also live his life in obedience to God. It's a great thing to be praying about. So all belongs to the Lord, all comes from the Lord. And then this passage finishes with all should bless the Lord. All should bless the Lord. Verse 20, then David said to all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord. 1,000 bulls and 1,000 rams and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. Here he called on the congregation to bless the Lord, and they obeyed and they bowed low in worship, and they even fell on their faces in submission and in praise. And I like Warren Wiersbe talking about this verse, says, what a way to begin a building program. What a way to begin a building program. Falling on their faces before the Lord in worship. I've talked about this before, how the physical posture of falling before the Lord was a regular thing that we see in Scripture. And it's something that we don't regularly see in our own culture and probably in our own lives. But what a great example the people set for us here as David calls on them to worship the Lord, to bless his name, and they fall down before him in adoration. What a great example. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. These might be familiar words to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then verse 20 through 22 of that same psalm. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We see that type of phrasing all throughout the Psalms, as that was the heart of David, that we would all bless the Lord, O my soul. But notice what this is following on the heels of. This is following on the heels of recognizing God's sovereignty, of recognizing his ownership and his rulership, of thanking him for the privilege of giving so much, because we recognize that it all came from him in the first place. And in response to all of that is bless the Lord, O my soul. Again, what a great way to begin a building program. What a great way to complete an offering. As I've said before, our offering during even the worship service here is a part of our worship. It's not just a timeout in the middle of our worship. It's not just something we do as a tradition. It's not just something we do because we need money to keep the lights on and so forth, but it's a part of our worship. Our giving, our offerings are as much of a worship as our singing, as our study of the word, as our prayer, because it's all encompassing a part of our relationship with the God who has given so much to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So after you put whatever it is you put in the offering bag, you ought to be just falling down on the floor in the aisle saying, bless the Lord. But I haven't seen any of you do that. I haven't done that either. But some of you almost fell down laughing when I messed up doing the offering. But Our response to the offering ought to be a joyful celebration. That's what we see here in this passage. Not only did they fall down before the Lord, but it also says they did all these sacrifices and offerings, and then they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness. They had a feast. They had a celebration in response to being able to give a generous offering to God. So next time we have a potluck, it should just come right after we take the offering, and we should just celebrate. Now, do you remember a few years ago when we did do a one-time offering to try to complete the funds needed to finish those classrooms? And there was really a sense of great excitement and thanksgiving to God when what came in was exactly what we needed to complete the task. That was one of those moments that I think we should hold on to as a church family with just excitement and gratitude that God gave us the privilege of participating in that. And there are many other opportunities like that for us. David provided sacrifices for the Lord and a feast for his people. The burnt offerings were sacrificed to express the people's dedication to the Lord. David also offered fellowship offerings, and part of each sacrifice was used for the fellowship meal. One writer says, it was a joyful occasion that climaxed with the coronation of Solomon. And so we're not going to read the rest of the chapter about Solomon becoming the next king, but there was this big celebration after receiving this great offering. And then the next thing that happened was, let's rejoice that we have a new king coming after David. Well, if you have your bulletin, there was a little piece of paper in there called a quit claim deed. You didn't know we were going to get into some real legal important matters here this morning. But because all belongs to the Lord and all comes from the Lord and all of us should bless the Lord, we're going to do this little exercise that we did when we took the biblical financial study small group class. We did this quit claim deed. Now, I will point out on the bottom in the fine print, if you have your magnifying glass, you can read, this instrument is not a binding legal document and cannot be used to transfer property. Okay, so this is symbolic, so don't be afraid to go ahead and fill this out. I won't come and claim all of your stuff, or the church won't come and say, hey, you signed it over to us. That's not what this is. But it's pretty self-explanatory, but it says, this quit claim deed made the, you can write the rest in, 30th day of April 2017. And then the from part there, you write your name or your names if you're doing it as a couple. Obviously, it's to the Lord. And then it says, I or we hereby transfer to the Lord the ownership of the following possessions. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to show a video here. Hopefully we have that almost ready. We're going to show a video here that has a song. And while that's going on, I want to encourage you to just prayerfully think of what are the things that you possess? What are the things that are yours? And I want you to write those things down and in your heart and in your mind to be transferring the ownership of those things to the Lord. And then if you want, you can even have witnesses around you write their names in, or maybe your kids. So this is really just a symbolic act of something that we all ought to be doing in our hearts. And that is to say, Lord, this is all yours. Now, the video that you're going to see is interesting because this week, Stephen Curtis Chapman was on Focus on the Family. And he's my favorite singer, and I have his new book, and he was talking about his new book. And so I turned on Pandora that morning on my Stephen Curtis Chapman channel, and the first song was this song. And it says, it's all yours, God. And I just happened to be thinking about this message this week, so I thought it was appropriate. So while we're listening to this song about it's all yours, God, I want to encourage you just to consider this quit claim deed. Write down the things that you would think were your possessions, and in your heart, transfer those things to the ownership of the Lord.
I walk the streets of London, noticing the faces passing by. something that makes me stop and listen. My heart grows heavy with the cry. Where is the hope for London? You whisper and my heart begins to soar as I'm reminded every street in London is yours. Oh yes it is. And I walk the dirt roads of Uganda. I see the scars that war has left behind. Hope like the sun is fading. They're waiting for a cure no one can find. And I hear children's voices singing of a God who heals and rescues and restores. And I'm reminded that every child in Africa is yours. Singapore, Manila, and Shanghai. I'm brushed by the beggar's hand and the wealthy man. And everywhere I look, I realize that just like the streets of London, for every man and woman, boy and girl, and all of creation.
Got everything all transferred over to the rightful owner. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great reminder from your word and from the song today that it really is all yours. Thank you that we belong to you first and foremost because you have purchased us. Your word tells us that we have been bought with a price. We are not our own. So our very souls, our lives, our bodies belong to you. Lord, everything we have is a gift from your hand. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Lord, we ask that you would be changing our hearts and helping us to not hang on tightly to our possessions, but to hold everything with an open hand, because it's all yours anyway. Lord, help us to be selfless and to be generous and to be cheerful and to be worshipful and to consider that everything that is in our possession is really yours, as we give it all back to you and transfer the ownership to you as you are the rightful owner of it. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be changing about our possessions and about our things, about our money. And Lord, that our hearts would be changing about our very lives. We thank you so much for your sovereignty, for your greatness, for your power, your glory, your majesty, your victory. And Lord, would you be glorified in our lives and in our hearts? Would you be glorified in our church? Would you be glorified in our community as we live as people who are not hanging on tightly, but we are letting go because it's all yours. In Jesus' name, amen.